be talking about recalibrating our hearing, recalibrating our spiritual hearing. How can we learn to hear from God more clearly? So turn to John 10. I hope that you've been participating in our 14 days of prayer and fasting that we launched last Monday. And this is a very important time for us as a church as we start this new year, that we begin the year right by making Jesus Christ the focus of our lives and paying special attention to our walk with Him. And I hope the recalibrate little prayer guides that we wrote for you, I hope those are helping you and they're a blessing to you. If you haven't received one of those, they're available out at the Information Center. And you might be thinking, well, I missed that whole first week. I didn't know anything about it. That's okay. You can start today, all right? Don't let the fact that you missed last week or maybe you got kind of off course last week, don't let that wreck next week for you, all right? So grab one of those this morning, get started on this journey, and spend this next week in a special time of prayer and fasting. Those booklets I have in the first couple of pages, some teaching about some instruction about fasting and prayer, and then the rest of the devotional has a scripture to read for each day, along with a devotional that I wrote, a prayer response, and then a prayer focus, a Bethel Church prayer focus. So we're all praying the same thing on the same day during the fast. And so those will be very, very helpful for you. Now you're going to notice that even though the fast is 14 days, I wrote 17 days worth of devotionals. The reason for that was I was having such a good time doing it. I was just writing them. And then I came to a point where I was like, I wonder how many I wrote. And I went back, and there was 17. And then I was just too stubborn to throw any of them out. So there's 17 in there. And so if you're an overachiever, go ahead and finish the last 3 days. And hopefully that'll help you. Before we get into this, I want to just one last word of caution before we get into this. I know the Seahawks are playing right now. And my good friend, Pastor Roger Hutley, is DVRing the game for me. So immediately after church, I'm going to be rushed to his home. So please, if you love me at all, do not tell me what the score is, okay? Before I read the passage of Scripture and start talking about how to listen to God, I want to tell you a little story that happened to me just a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning. I was got up early, as I always do on Sunday mornings, was preparing, kind of going over my notes and praying for the service. And I felt the Lord say to me, be ready not to use notes today. And that happens once in a while. And let me just say, I don't think there's anything more spiritual about not using notes when a preacher preaches. I know some of you see those guys on TV and you think, wow, they are so incredible, they're not using notes. Well, they're probably using a teleprompter, okay? So there's nothing spiritual, unspiritual about using notes, but I just felt like the Lord said, be ready not to use notes. And so I went, okay, you know, and I started going through and just trying to kind of mind map the message and like, okay, how can I do this without having any notes? And then I came into the office at about 9 o'clock and I'm going over the notes in my mind, and I just start thinking, this is not going to work. I don't feel comfortable with this at all. I'm just going to go ahead and put my notes onto my iPad. So I go to transfer the notes from my laptop to the iPad, and it doesn't work. And then I just thought, well, I'll just do it the old-fashioned way, and I'll just print them. I'll just take printed pages up there. And so I go to use the printer. The printer won't work. And so you know what I did? I preached without notes. And so it was either one of two things happened. Either God wanted me not to use notes, and so he made everything not work when I got here. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is God knew nothing was going to work when I got here, so he told me to be ready for that occasion. At any rate, it was a reminder to me to pay attention to that inner voice, even though it wasn't a big deal. There was definitely a prompting in my spirit that I took to be from the Lord, and it was a reminder to me that God can and will speak to us. And Jesus taught us that in a number of places, but here in John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the kind of relationship that he wants to have with us. So John chapter 10, beginning at verse 22, says, "Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were gathered around him saying, 'How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered, 'I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep.'" In other words, Jesus is saying, "I'm talking to you, but you're not listening. Right? I've been showing you things, I've been telling you things, but you really don't want to hear." But then Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Let's read that out loud together, that 27th verse. "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." So let's talk about how we can have that kind of relationship with the Lord. How can we hear the voice of the Lord? Because hearing the voice of the Lord will change your life. The ability to know what God is saying. Just think, as parents, how many times we just want to turn to the Lord and say, "God, what do you want me to do here?" Because every one of our children is different, and they all have different needs and different personalities. And how many times as parents we want to hear from the Lord? Or perhaps when we're making a big financial decision and we're weighing the pros and cons and everything seems kind of equal and we're not sure what to do, and really we just want to know what God wants us to do. We're praying for an unsaved neighbor or an unsaved family member, and we're not sure how to approach them. We're not sure what to say, and we're just asking the Lord, "Lord, give me the words. Give me the right words to say to this person." Or times in our life where everything just seems so unsettled, and we're just asking God, "God, just give me a word that is going to bring peace in this situation." So the ability to hear from God will change the course of our lives. Now, when I was a young Christian, I remember many times as a young Christian hearing people say things like, "Oh, God said this, God said that, this morning God told me this," and I wasn't hearing anything from God. And I would get so intimidated when people would just throw that out there. "Well, Jesus said this to me, God said this." I'm like, "What, you sat down and had Cheerios with Jesus today? Tell me what? What in the world?" And I couldn't understand why all these people could be hearing from God so much, and I didn't seem to be hearing anything from God, and it was so discouraging to me. It was so intimidating to me to think all of these people can hear from God, but I can't hear anything from God. What's wrong with me? And I learned a couple of things. I learned a couple of things about that. First of all, I learned that not everybody who says they're hearing from God is actually hearing from God. So I learned that, but I also learned this. I also learned that Jesus was talking to me more than I realized. That the Lord really was talking to me. I just wasn't listening, or I wasn't understanding that it was God. And in all of that, I started to get a hunger. There was a hunger to hear from God more clearly. I wanted to know what God was saying. So let me give you a couple of just preliminary thoughts this morning. I'll give you some how-tos later on, but let me give you some just a few preliminary thoughts when it comes to hearing from God. And the first one is this, and this is so important that you get this. I want you to get this in your spirit. I want you to get this. God is talking to you. God is talking to you. Jesus said, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." The implication there is that he is going to be speaking. "My sheep listen to my voice." Jesus is saying, "I am going to be talking to you. I do talk to you. And I want you to know that God is talking to you. Hearing from God is not reserved for the spiritual elite. There aren't classifications of Christians in God's sight where here's the, you know, the barely saved and the really saved and the super saved. There's no classification. I want you to know that there's no second class citizens in heaven. Listen, once you are washed clean by the blood of Jesus, your sins are eternally purged and you're a child of God with all the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as every other child of God. Get that in your spirit, okay? Because here's the deal. The devil doesn't want you to know that you can hear from God. The devil wants you to think, oh, you've just made such a mess of your life that you can't hear from God anymore, and other people are closer to God than you, and you're not spiritual enough to hear from God. These are all lies. And I want you to know God is talking to you. The devil just doesn't want you to know it. Okay, so God is talking. Just say, God is talking to me. God is talking to me. He really is. So that's the first thing I want you to get. Secondly, just in way of preliminary thoughts, I want you to understand this. We all hear from God in different ways. We all hear from God in unique, different ways. How many of you are familiar with a book? It's a relationship book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. You're familiar with that book? If you've done premarital counseling with me, you know that book because I made you read it. And in the five love languages, the basic premise of the book is that we all tend to receive feeling loved in different ways. And so Dr. Chapman has kind of summarized like five basic ways that love is expressed to each one of us. So there's quality time, there's meaningful touch, words of encouragement, gift giving, and acts of service. And that all of us are going to relate to all five of those, but there's going to be one or two of those that are going to kind of be the main ways that we understand how love is being expressed to us. And I've become convinced that when it comes to hearing from God, we're all wired differently. We all kind of hear from God in different ways. Now, there's some common threads in that, and I want to share those just briefly with you. Some of us, we hear from God through Bible reading. Some of us through worship times. Some of us, times of solitude, we have to just get really quiet with God. Some of us, we respond really well. We're journalers, and God speaks to us through our journaling. Some of us, God gives dreams to. God will show you things in dreams and teach you things that he wants you to learn. Some of us get word pictures. I know a lot of you'll tell me that in prayer. God will show you this picture, and it'll be this amazing message that God is giving to you. Some of you identify to hearing from God through relationships, like the things that other people say. God will use those things to speak to you. And there's probably many more, but here's some of the main ones. And we're all wired a little differently. And so I want you to see this list, and I want you to understand that God does use all of these things. But we'll tend to have one or two of those things on the list that speak most clearly to us, okay, because of just how we're wired. Little example of this, when our kids, two of our kids, Stephen and Stephanie, when they were very young, I think Stephen was probably 7 and Stephanie was 5. And Stephen has always been a student of the Word. Even when he was 5 years old, Stephen started reading the Bible every day without missing when he was 5 years old. I mean, every single day without missing ever a day. Every day, Stephen read the Bible. And that's just kind of how he's wired. Stephanie's always had a heart for worship. She's a worshiper. And so when they're about 7, about 5, there was a Sunday night where we had this just incredible church service. We were pastoring in Lincoln City. God moved in a powerful way. Lots of time just people praying at the altars after service was over. And then last night we're home, everybody's getting ready for bed, and Janice and I overhear this conversation between Stephen and Stephanie. And they're talking away. I think they're sitting on a bunk bed, and And Stephanie says, 5 years old, she says, "Oh, couldn't you just feel the Holy Spirit tonight?" 5 years old. To which Stephen said, "Well, you know, Stephanie, it's not about our feelings." 7 years old. And I just want to go, where did you get that? And so it was a great teaching opportunity for us to kind of talk about the service and talk about how God speaks to us. And throughout their lives, they've kind of been wired that way. Stephen is very much a student of the Word, and God speaks to him most clearly through the Scriptures. Stephanie's a worship leader. She loves worship. And the Holy Spirit just uses those worship times to speak to her, both hearing from God, but both in different ways. And so one of the things that we need to understand is that we're all wired a little differently, and that's okay. Don't be jealous of the fact that God uses certain things to speak to other people. Like, they're always getting these incredible pictures. Like, why doesn't God give me a picture? Why doesn't God give me a dream? Well, maybe you're just not wired that way, and maybe God's never going to talk to you that way. That's okay. It's all right. On the other hand, too, don't judge or discount the way other people hear from God. Like, someone might hear from God in a totally different way, and they're telling you, "Hey, God showed me this through this," and you're just thinking, "Oh, yeah, right, like, that's God." Don't discount the way God might speak to somebody else. We're all wired differently. We all have these different languages that God uses to speak to us, and it's not that one way is better than another, okay? Third preliminary thought, is this. The goal is to know God better. The goal is to know God better. This is a relationship, not a formula. This is not 10 ways to get an answer from God. The goal is simply to get closer to God, to know Him better. Then as you know Him better, you're going to hear from Him more clearly. God wants us to seek Him more than He wants us to seek answers. He wants us to go after Him, to learn His heart. In fact, I am convinced that there are times that God doesn't give me the answer that I want when I want it, because God is trying to teach me to wait upon Him. God has not given me quick, easy answers because He wants to teach me a lesson. He wants me to be patient. He wants me to press into Him. He wants me to grow in my relationship with Him. So it's all about this relationship with God. It's mostly about that, okay? And then number four, you can improve your listening skills. When it comes to hearing from God, we can all improve our listening skills. Again, the words of Jesus, "My sheep," what's the next word? "My sheep listen to my voice." My sheep listen to my voice. Now, how many of you know there's a difference between listening and hearing? Right? There's a difference between listening and hearing. Janice taught me this early on in our marriage. Okay? Because I thought I could listen to her and watch football at the same time. That's what I thought. And eventually, Janice would be talking, and then she'd say, "Have you heard a word I've said?" "Oh, yeah." And I could tell her what she had said. All right? I was hearing her, but in reality, I wasn't listening. Right? There's a difference between listening and hearing, and God wants us to improve our listening skills, So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about how to do that. Okay. Now, before I get to that, two words of caution when it comes to hearing from God. Because here's the deal. I've seen people over my years being a pastor, I have seen people start to hear from God and then get really weird. I have. And they're really hearing from God. They are, but then they start to get weird. So a couple of words of caution about hearing from God. The first one is this: the Bible, God's inspired word, always has the final say. Okay? The Bible is God's inspired word. It's God-breathed, and it always has the final say. God never contradicts himself. Okay, so what do I mean by that? If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. Okay? If it doesn't line up with Scripture, it's not God. Because here's what we do. We really want God to say something, so we rationalize, right? We convince ourselves that God is saying something, even though it's contrary to God's word. And so we are convinced in our minds that we've heard from God, but really it's impossible that God would have said that. So for example, my parents, you know, they're just not reasonable people. They won't listen. I can't talk to them. They don't understand me. So I don't need to honor them the way the Bible says. And I feel like God's told me it's okay. My parents are different from other parents. Okay? Or I know what the Bible says about having sex before marriage, but we're gonna get married. And, you know, living together is just more convenient than living apart, and we can save money if we live together. And so, yeah, you know, the Bible was written a long time ago. And so, listen, if I have one more person tell me that God told them it's okay for us to have sex before we get married, or it's okay for me to divorce my spouse even though there's no biblical reason for it, I think my head's going to pop off. If it contradicts the Bible, it's not God. All right? The Bible has the final say. Okay? Secondly, second caution here. Hearing from God doesn't negate the need to seek counsel. In other words, don't get proud. God will talk to you, but be careful because pride can come in and we start getting this idea that we've got this special relationship with God because God's talking to me and I've got this relationship with God now and I don't need to listen to anybody else. Listen, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 6 says this. It says, in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. In the abundance of counselors, there is victory. Now, if the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is saying, in the abundance of counselors, there's victory, if the Holy Spirit has already declared it's good to seek wise counsel, then it's not the Holy Spirit telling you, you don't need to listen to anybody else. Okay? So don't let the fact that God is speaking to you now puff you up and make you prideful so you think you don't need to listen to anybody else. Listen, I have seen well-meaning prayer groups. Well-meaning, started off great. I've seen well-meaning prayer groups turn into we're smarter than our pastor groups. And we don't need to listen to anybody else because God's talking to us. Listen, guys, that's pride. God does speak to us, but we still need to bounce off of other people. Don't put yourself in a position where you think you don't need to listen to anybody else. That's a scary place to be. You're setting yourself up for a fall. There's this great example for us in Acts chapter 15. A great example from the early church about that balance of hearing from God and hearing from other people. And in Acts chapter 15, the church is gathered together because they've got this huge theological decision to make. I'm not going to go into all the details, but something arose in the church, a false teaching arose in the church that had the power to absolutely divide the church. And so the elders of the church came together in the city of Jerusalem, and they sought counsel from the Holy Spirit, but they also sought counsel from one another. And then a key verse is they're kind of giving their, after they deliberated and prayed, after they're giving their answer to this theological issue, it says this. This was it part of their answer. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. I want you to notice two things there. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit, and it seemed good to us. In other words, look, we got together, we talked about this, we shared our feelings with one another, our opinions with one another, we shared together, and we also heard from God. The two don't have to be in conflict with one another, they should be in harmony with one another. Amen? And so the church was able to make this huge, huge, important decision because they listened to God, but they also listened to each other. Okay? So, those are the two words of caution, two words of warning. And by the way, this is why it's so important to be a part of a home group. You need to have people in your life that you open your life up to and that you share with. Home groups are meeting tonight all over the valley. And if you're not in a home group, I want to encourage you, get information that's available out there in the lobby. Maybe you have not and done this before. And 2016, as we start this new year, this would be a good time for you. Get into a group. Amen? And start sharing your life with other people and letting them kind of, you know, help you become closer to the Lord and a stronger Christian. So home groups tonight. Now, how can I learn to hear from God? I'm going to give you five things, five principles to hearing from God. The first one is get hungry. Get hungry. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, David wrote this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go meet with God?" Do you hear the hunger in David there? The thirst for God. I want more of God. And this is where it starts. If you want to hear from God, you've got to be hungry. Get hungry for the presence of God in your life. Seeking God is not a part-time hobby. It's a full-time pursuit. Okay? Go after God with everything that you have. Get hungry. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 4. He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus is saying, be more hungry for God than you are for food. Okay? Get hungry. Second thing is this, eliminate interference. Eliminate interference. There are all kinds of things trying to bust into our lives that would make it so we can't hear from God. There are things that will interfere with our ability to hear from God. I've talked about one of them, pride. Pride will keep you from hearing from God. God says that he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So pride is going to keep us from hearing from God. Stubbornness, just being a stubborn person, it'll keep you really from hearing what God is trying to say to you. Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. It's not that God stops loving you if you've got unconfessed sin in your life. It's just that your relationship with God is going to be affected by that. And you're not going to hear from God as clearly. If you know there's sin in your life and you're not repenting of that sin, then of course it's going to affect your relationship with God. So eliminate interference so that you can hear from God. The reality is the reason a lot of people don't hear from God is because they really don't want to know what God has to say. They don't really want it. They don't really. Like, God, you can talk to me about the things on this list, but the things on this list over here, we'll stay away from that. Right? You ever do that with like a family gathering? You know there's certain topics we're just going to stay away from. Right? It doesn't work that way with God. You know, God's got his own agenda. And you have to be open to God saying things that you might not even want to talk about yet, that God knows you're ready for him. So eliminate interference. Number three, if you want to hear from God, you got to slow down. Got to slow down. Hearing from God is usually not something that takes place when we're hurried, rushed, living crazy, schedule-packed lives. Hearing from God takes time, and it means quieting my spirit. It means taking time to slow down. You say, "Pastor Tim, I don't have time for that." Well, here's what I've learned. I've learned we all have time for the things that are important to us. Right? We all make time for what's really important to us. And if spending time with God is important to you, you're going to learn to slow down. You're going to learn to have a window of time for God every day in your life. So learn to slow down. OK? Okay? Number four, be filled. Be filled. Here's what I mean by that. God has given us this great gift, His Holy Spirit, to enable us to hear His voice more clearly. This is one of the things the Holy Spirit does in our lives, is He helps us to hear what God is saying. Jesus, in preparation for the coming of the Holy Spirit, taught His disciples this in John 16. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Get that. That is awesome. I mean, He said a lot to His disciples, but Jesus is saying, I've got a lot more to say to you, but you're not ready for it right now. More than you can bear. But when He comes, when He, the Spirit of Truth, one of the titles of the Holy Spirit is He's the Spirit of Truth. When He comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me because it is from Me that you will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. So the Holy Spirit, church, is a gift from God. He is a gift from God to help us to discern what God is saying. And He will help you to understand the Bible more clearly. That's why it's important in your Bible time. Always begin your Bible time by asking the Holy Spirit to help you understand what you're reading. Right? The Bible's a spiritual book, and it's spiritually understood. So always ask the Holy Spirit, God, by Your Holy Spirit, show me what You want me to learn today. Speak to me through Your Word. And then the Holy Spirit, He'll speak to you at all kinds of different times. Early on in my message this morning, I talked to you about my early frustrations with hearing the Word of God. And as you can imagine, since that time when I was a young Christian, I've learned a lot more about how to listen from God. And I can say today that literally there is hardly ever a day that goes by that God doesn't say something to me. God speaks to me almost every single day. And I will say this, the days that I don't feel like God said anything to me, it's because I wasn't listening very good that day. Because I don't have this, you know, I've grown a lot, but I've got more to, I'm not in tune 100% of the time. Hopefully that won't make you quit the church. I'm getting better and better at it. But the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That means our life can be a constant conversation with God. That prayer just isn't my, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, hour, whatever it is that you spend with the Lord. That's not all prayer is. Prayer can be a constant conversation with God. And as we grow in our relationship with God, we'll learn that God will speak to us at different times in different ways. So times that I haven't heard from God very well, I can honestly look back and say, you know, the reason I didn't hear from God is I really wasn't listening very good that day. And God will speak to you at different times in different ways. Don't get locked in where you're sitting down in your prayer time and say, okay, God, I need to hear from You now. Okay, here it comes. Now. Okay? You know, it's not like you're taking God to dog obedience school where you're trying to teach Him to do what you want Him to do when you want Him to do it. Right? Now, are there times that God just, like, I pray and then right now God talks to me? Absolutely. But it doesn't happen that way all the time. I've learned not to let that bother me. Okay. Because here's what will happen. God will speak to me at times where I'm not really thinking about it, too. God will just be like, hey, Tim, oh, you want to talk to me now? You want to show me this now? This is not my pre-scheduled prayer time, God. And God will do that. He'll use situations. He'll show me things. He'll take me after a conversation and say, hey, Tim, you could have done that a lot better. And here's where you went wrong. And God will show me just on the spot, on the moment. God will teach me. And so be open all the time to what God might want to say to you. And then number five is this, press in. Get hungry. Eliminate interference, slow down, be filled, and press in. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. those who wait, everybody say wait. Those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread out their wings and soar like eagles. They run and don't get tired. They walk and don't lag behind. But it all has to do with waiting. Waiting. We're not good at waiting. I'll confess, I'm not good at waiting. You know, when I am in the left turn signal light, and I know that light, I'm about to get the green arrow, right? And I know I'm like 8 cars behind. I've got it figured out. I'm like, okay, people, if we all move together, I should get in on this, right? I ought to make it. I shouldn't have to wait again. I'm that guy. I'm the guy that if I'm at the grocery store and I pull up with a cart, man, I am scanning every line for which is the shortest, right? And I've learned, though, I get up there, I think my line is the fastest, and sure enough, the line I am in is the person who still uses a checkbook. I'm not good at waiting, but listen, if you want to hear from God, you got to learn to wait. You've got to learn to wait upon God. We used to use this little acronym when it came to learning how to pray. It was PUSH. PUSH. And PUSH, the acronym for PUSH, simply means pray until something happens. Pray until something happens. That taught me a lot. It taught me that my prayer time might not be just this 10-minute time with God, that I might have to just press in and learn to wait upon God and get quiet, turn my cell phone off, close myself in with God. But here's the deal. Listen, it is impossible to wait on God and not be rewarded for it. It's impossible. It's impossible to wait on God and not be rewarded for it. Okay? And here's why I can say that with a great degree of confidence. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 6, listen to this. Listen. Jesus said this, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen." Watch. "Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." That's the promise of Jesus. He didn't say might, maybe. "Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." It's impossible to wait on God and not be rewarded for it. And the ability to hear from God, it will change your life. It will strengthen you. It will encourage you. It will guide you. A word from God can heal you. It will sustain you when you feel so weak. It will give you wisdom. It will correct you when you need correction. Think about this. There is power in everything God says. Every word of God has power in it. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, when God created the heavens and the earth. What does it say there? It says, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Right? God said, now listen, the wording here is important. It doesn't say God said, "Let there be light," and then God created light. It says God said, "Let there be light," and then there was light. In other words, him saying it is what did it. Right? The saying wasn't just an announcement of what he was about to do. The saying was actually the doing. And every day of creation was like that. God said it and it happened. There is power in the Word of God. Amen? There's power in the Word of God. And so when God is speaking to you, when God speaks, things are created. When God speaks, something comes from nothing. When God speaks, things change. When God speaks, atmospheres change. When God speaks, lives are healed. When God speaks, hearts become whole. When God speaks, curses are broken. Chains are broken. When God speaks, life comes from death. When God speaks, our words become living testimonies. When God speaks, that which was in disunity becomes harmony. When God speaks, mountains are moved. Amen? So it is so important that we learn to hear from God, to wait upon God, to listen to God. Bow your heads with me this morning.